Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Doran Dickerson, Nicholas Harry-Kaus behind the glass. Doug Whaley, he's joining the Fan Morning Show right now. Pat Bostic just left, so Pat will be back tomorrow from 7 to 9 as well. Doug, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing all right. I'm trying to fill in for Bostic. Some big shoes to fill, but excited to be here. Are we really upset that Crowley's not here?
No. No, we told him that yesterday. Look at the cows. He was immediately
shocked. This is bliss, Doug.
This is bliss.
Early 4th of July thing for you, huh?
Yes.
Celebration.
All right. I bet you tomorrow he's going to have FOMO. He calls in. I bet you he has FOMO right now.
He was so disappointed. You should have seen his face when we're like, yeah, no, we'll be fine without you.
Yeah. He was like, you guys going to miss me? We're like,
no.
Oh, man. We were talking earlier about, the next teams that could possibly win a championship here in Pittsburgh. And Pat brought up Pitt basketball being one of those teams. And you know, this city does not have an NBA team. Like, could they hold an NBA team? The NBA draft is tonight. And Bub Carrington, there's rumors of him being a top 15 pick. You know, obviously he was a point guard at a Pitt this year, was a freshman. He got invited to the green room, got invited to the whole dance. So that would be big for Pitt. And my one question is, could Pittsburgh handle an NBA team? And my other, I guess, question is something that you brought up whenever you walked in about the NBA draft tonight, which makes it somewhat unique, mm-hmm. and how that could relate to the NFL.
Well, I'll say this. Being at Pitt when the Pete just opened up, Ben Howland, Jamie Dixon, that run, you kind of think city of Pittsburgh would embrace an NBA team. But I would say this, after the first year or two and the novelty run out wears off, they would have to be a serious contender. Because I think with the establishment of really not only Pitt basketball, but the Pens, as that winter sport, and that this is a hockey town, and it would have to try to penetrate that market, I think it would be tough unless you have that immediate success. So that, what is very interesting when you're just looking at, I know there's not a lot of NBA people out there, but if you look at the top 10 projected draft choices, 5 of them are from the States. The other 5 are international. Now, we all know baseball's international game, basketball's international game, and absolutely hockey's international game. But what we were talking about before is there is a press by the NFL to expand their reach globally. They've almost tapped out their revenue sources here domestically. So that's why they're exporting all these games globally to try to not only increase that fan base, but to increase the interest of younger players, to get younger players internationally to start playing the game and learning the game at a younger age, and they have a better chance of translating if they learn the game young to hopefully have international prospects. And if you have an international prospect on an NFL team, then that blows off the roof of your revenue producing and whatever country that player's from. Where I see they could have been so far advanced at this stage is if they didn't give up on NFL Europe. They gave up on and pulled the plug on NFL Europe in 2007. So you're talking close to 20 years where you could have had professional football being played overseas markets, and then you develop kids, and then you have the Pee Wee programs. So you'll have 20 years of kids playing, and then that's when this year, like 5 years ago, you could have had those guys coming to colleges from and it's starting to trickle in right now, mm-hmm. but it would have been so far advanced if they wouldn't have pulled the plug. And then you would have had maybe an international guy getting drafted in the third, fourth, fifth round, and then another 10 years, a first round kick. And then that's where it becomes a global game, which they're trying to make, but it's just slower process because they don't have that grassroots football programs in overseas.
Why do you think that they pulled the plug? Was it just like revenue?
Money. And when you look at it, and I'm butchering the numbers, but when I back then, I think it was close to maybe $2 million a team that they were investing that they weren't really getting any return on. And if and just from my scouting budget, we'd blow through $2 million just in travel alone. Mm. And but that was short-sighted, not seeing the investment into the global game. And that's why you look at basketball. They invested in China. They invested when they moved, put an expansion franchise in Toronto and Vancouver. Think about all the Canadian basketball players. They put an emphasis not on games, but the development of younger athletes and the playing over there. So they can, because you can get athletes, and we can get an athlete, a rugby athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Big, strong, fast, can move. But the intricacies of the game and
right.
the game making sense to them is different because you haven't grown up and you haven't had 10,000 reps to know, oh, I feel that this guy's pushing only this side way, I can go around that side. Or, hey, instead of giving a guy a two-way go and being head up, let me take an angle where he has a one-way go and the sideline's my friend. Little things like that you develop from playing. And if you don't play, it's hard to have that just instinctive, intuitive feel for a game. And that's where I think the NFL missed out by pulling the plug. But other sports have taken advantage, and specifically basketball. And that's why you see five of the top 10 guys going in this year will be international guys.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And whenever you think about football and international guys, I mean, if you had a one position, and this goes to the intricacies of actually playing football, they're punters from Australia. Like that, you know, that's probably the most that you have in the NFL, because it's probably the easiest position to learn within football. But do you think that people from other countries want to play football and they just don't have the access and they don't have the elements to play? Like, are they yearning to play football? Yeah.
No, there is. And I'll say this much. There's the EFL, the European Football League, that's there. There's an Italian Football League. So there are football leagues. Even in Mexico, there's football leagues.
Like full pads, like same field length, everything?
Absolutely. It's just now they're just starting in the last 5 or 6 years. So you don't have, but that's professional. You need to break it down to the peewee guys. You need to get into the youth football to get them start playing then, so they have that intuitive, instinctive feel for the game. And I think there's an appetite. It's small. I think that's why the NFL is putting the games out there, to help grow the interest. And it's, I would equate it to maybe, I don't know if, hopefully it gets to this, but soccer 20 years ago when it was introduced into the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken soccer a while to get to be the popular sport it is now. And now you have fans from the U.S. all about the EPL, Serie A, La Liga. Now it's being broadcast here, so you're getting that traction. And I think that's what they're trying to do with the NFL. And hopefully in 10 to 15 years from now, actually it's going to be sooner, because I know there's a lot of international football players coming over, going to high school. And they're getting recruited from semi-pro leagues in Europe, in Germany, most likely, and most of the ones I've heard from are German, and they have their 13th grade, and they'll play in the whatever football league they are. They'll get recruited there, and then they can come over and be seniors here or in high school and go get recruited or go to college. And then, so there's a speckle of those type of players that are starting to trickle over. So it's starting to gain momentum for sure.
Do you think we will see an NFL team in that will be a part, like a 33rd team, that will be based out of Germany at any point in time?
I think so. The biggest obstacle, we all thought it was going to be Jacksonville, but I just mm-hmm. saw where they're
building a new stadium.
Right. So no. The biggest part of that and what they have to really work out is the logistics, meaning, okay, perfect example, and it just goes to what we all know. You play a game on a Sunday. Let's say you're playing a game on Sunday, and it's, let's say the team's in London. Someone gets hurt. Where's your pod of players to pull from? They're in the States. So you got to get a guy or a couple guys on a flight Monday. You land Tuesday morning, work them out, and then they got to get there. So that type of stuff is just injury replacements. Are you going to have two offices, one in London and one in the States? And then the off season, everybody's in the States. How about travel? Do you have three games in a row in London and three games over in the States. And then, so not only are you adding logistical challenges, but you're adding actual economic challenges because you're going to have two headquarters, one in the whatever city is overseas and one home base. How do you split up your time with your personnel guys and with your coaches and all your admins and stuff like that? Do you have two of each? So that's the hardest part of it. And then finally, just taxation, players, like visas. Are they going to get double taxed? Then do you have to overpay these guys because they're going to be paying foreign taxes and American taxes? So all the minutiae that goes in is got to get worked out. And then is it worth, will the return be on there in the, on that investment? And I think if this youth football and the football craze starts to, and they can see that there's such a popularity explosion of NFL football in a foreign country, that it will help negate some of that extra cost, then I could see it. But I don't see it in the next 5 years.
Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Doug, I think this news-ish topic dropped last Thursday and you were here on Wednesday, and I don't think we got the chance to talk about it. So I kind of want to bring it up to you next and see where your mind is at if this were to happen in the NFL. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection. Thorin Dickerson, Doug Whaley, Nicholas Callis behind the glass, here with you on the Fan Morning Show. Callis, how you doing? I haven't talked to you in a while. I haven't talked to you for like 3 hours, it feels like.
Yeah, I kind of faded back here a little bit. I had a lot of energy in the 6 o'clock hour, and then things started to just...
Did you fall asleep at all?
Yeah.
You did a couple times?
He's asleep now.
Or did you not hear
that? No, I didn't fall asleep. I lost the energy.
I said, did you fall asleep a couple times? He goes, yeah. He didn't even realize I asked him that question.
No. Pat stole my headphones too, so now I can't hear anything when you talk.
These? Well, those ones?
Hey, there they are. Yeah,
he didn't even send them back. I'll give them to you.
Look at that. All right, just checking on you, seeing how you're doing. I'm glad you're doing well.
Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got something to tell you, though.
Oh, what?
Somebody called me and gave me information on a bus for sale. It's cheap.
How much is it?
I don't know. They said best offer, but it's a 2016 model, and it's got 58,000 miles on it, and I don't know if it's in my price range, but I can ask.
I think that if they're going to call you to say that they know that you're interested, right? So yes. This person is going to take the time to call you and say, hey, best offer. They know that what your price range is, because we've talked about your price range.
It was a fan that called on behalf. It's a church that's selling it.
Well, they're going to know your price range.
Yeah. I'm excited. Flooded.
2016. What was the year that you were looking at?
2001.
Yeah, that's even better. 58,000 miles?
Yeah.
Okay. Does he know?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
Break this down for me.
Doug, I always wanted to be a bus driver when I was younger. I always liked the practicality of buses. Then we stayed in the Partying Panther, the RV, for the 5-alarm marathon. And I'm like, you know what? I want an RV, but I don't have $300,000. So how can I make this work? School bus. I get to say I can drive a school bus and turn it into like a party bus instead.
I like it. Are you going to be able to? Are you going to transform the inside? Take the benches out and
yeah, I might. I got to take a look at whatever I can first. But yeah, probably put some couches in there, lights, a television, maybe mount one in the front.
Are you handy enough to do this all yourself? Or you
no, gonna, I'll find someone though.
I got you.
That's, know some people.
You got a guy.
Yeah, he Doug. He will be single forever if he does that. So,
but he will be the party man forever. Hey, let's go out with Callis. Callis is going to, You could, here's a nice little side hustle. You can rent it out for bachelorette parties and you drive.
Oh, that's a great
call. I'm telling you, man. And then you won't be single forever.
That is a great call.
Doug, that's why that's why you're the man.
And you're DJing. You could put the soundtrack there. You will drive you, DJ, everything. Jeez. And can you cook?
It's a tremendous idea.
That is.
There you go. I got you, babe.
That is great. Take bachelorette parties around Pittsburgh.
Now you got to come up with a catchy
name. Pay for itself in no time, too.
Wow. More ways than one.
Here you go.
Nick the Trick Daddy.
Oh, there it is. The Trick Daddy Nick.
Bus service.
Look at that.
Wow. Doug is just throwing it down. Let's go.
Service with a smile. Service with Nick. Bus service with Nick. Harry Callis.
Oh, man. That's funny. Doug, last week it came out. It was reported that the NFL, and I guess maybe the NFLPA, would be exploring a separate salary cap for quarterbacks. We talked a little bit offline here, and you said that you've seen that. And I took it two ways. Like, one, that there's 20% of the cap that would just count against quarterbacks. And then there was another way that I thought in my mind where it'd be an absolute separate cap where the salary cap would be, say, $250 million for, 52 guys. And that 53rd guy would be the quarterback, and they would have a totally different cap. How are you looking at this? Like, I know that you saw it.
Right.
It's probably not going to happen, but how are you looking at this discussion?
I would say the only way I could see the NFLPA and the rank and file signing off would be if it was two separate caps. Because if you have it as still one cap of, let's say, 250 and 20% of that, which would be $50 million, if my math is correct, is reserved for quarterbacks, then you're basically having your elective union officials signing off on suppressing the pay of their rank and file. You're holding hostage these quarterbacks saying, we're putting, you cannot maximize. You already got a salary cap on the total of 53 players. Now you're putting an extra cap on a position. I don't see how you could get that passed. What you could get passed is what you're talking about. Hey, $250 million. Now we'll take maybe 40% of that and have another cap for all quarterbacks on a team. So if you have three quarterbacks, you got to split up that 40% of that 250 between those three. That I could see really working. And what you can justify it to the owners is like, listen, now you have all these other revenue streams by these streaming devices that are going to do Wednesday night football, Thursday night football, all those. Let's take a percentage of that and have it just for designated for quarterbacks. That, I think, it would be a great idea, and I don't see anybody from the long snapper to a quarterback having really a issue mm-hmm. with that. Now, the quarterbacks may the only bargaining chip would be, what is that percentage?
Right.
Is it 20? Is it 30? Is it 40? So that's it. And does it grow? And it should grow commensurate with the salary cap.
Do you like the idea of 18-game seasons? This is kind of where it started.
Yeah. Let's say this. I got to see the minutiae in it, as in how many more players are going to be active. What's the roster size? Definitely going to be two buys. Now, the problem is there going to be load management like you're seeing in the NBA? And if that's the case, then that's where, because we've talked about this, is right now no one can see a market saturation for the game of football. No one can. But I'm sure baseball didn't see that either.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because baseball is America's game.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's probably second and maybe tied for second with maybe the NBA. And a lot of sports are coming up. So that's where you get in that perilous predicament of when is too much, too much. And when you start talking about load management, as in, okay, Patrick Mahomes, he's only going to play 15 games.
Right.
Now people are going to be like, wait a minute, hold on. So that, to me, is where that 18 games, I want to find out the minutia. But you know, once they go 18, it's going to be 20.
It's going to be 20,
It's
right.
just going to keep going. So I'm a little nervous of that fact. And that's one of the things, in my opinion, that makes the NFL so special. Like, one game a week, but it's only 16, now 17 games. Once you start getting those, now we got time to make it up. Just like in basketball, just like in hockey, just like in baseball. We lost that series, but we still got 14 more games to go. That worries me.
Right. And this was a discussion that we had last week, you know, really off of this, the 18 games. You know, Crowley's in the you know, camp of the NHL season's too long.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, we're giving out the Stanley Cup 2 days ago at the end of June.
Yeah.
Like, and then they're going to start right back up in October. Do you think that these seasons are too long outside of football? Like, do you think that the baseball season is too long, 182? Do you think that the hockey season is too long? Or should you scale it back and make it more? And you brought up, Callis, you brought up maybe not scaling back the seasons, but scaling back the seven-game series to maybe five.
Yeah, I think that hockey is different, though, because you have off days more frequently. Baseball, you get more off time because you're playing consecutive days in a row. So it makes sense that the season is a little more extended because you need those off days, because I think hockey's more physically demanding with every motion. But Yeah, like we don't need a 7-game series for 4 rounds.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, and I know it's against I would be okay with maybe the first round single elimination.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, let's it's drop that puck. Let's see what you got.
Yeah.
Now, conference finals and finals. Let's conference finals 5, finals 7.
Yes.
Give that like that, but really, and that's why the NFL playoffs and like NCAA tournament, that single elimination, that puts a lot out there, and that garners a lot of excitement
because it's just one time.
That's it.
It's one time.
Yeah,
you got to do it that one day,
and you don't have to be the best team. You just got to be the best team that night.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. I like that, and it kind of leads into what we're going to talk about next. You know, expanding the NFL to 18 games. How long the baseball season is, how many games you play in the NHL season and in the NHL playoffs. And just like Crowley said, and I just said before, you know, we're handing out the trophy in June. Like that's a long season, but that's going to roll right into what we're going to discuss next. But Bear Morning Show, Doran Dickerson, Doug Whaley, Nicholas Harry Callis with you right now. I honestly forgot what we were about to talk about.
Oh, 18 game seasons, the season just
rolling sports. Into the next thing. Yes, that's right. Yes.
And just really the length of every professional sports season, especially with the NFL talking about going to 18. And what I think a lot of the listening audience has to understand is that this is turning into a 365 job for athletes. And people are like, oh, these athletes, when is enough enough? Well, you got to understand that their corporation, the way they produce revenue for themselves and their family, is through physical activity and the output of their bodies. So their bodies are their corporations, and they have to maximize their earnings as quickly as possible because Father Time is undefeated.
Yeah.
So these guys and girls have to maximize and try to get as much as possible when they can because careers are short. With that said, that's why it's turned into a 365 job. They never get out of shape. 20 years ago in football, you used to come to training camp to get in shape.
Right.
Now these guys are in shape all the time. They have personal trainers. They have dietitians. They have people that stretch them. They have yoga instructors. All of that stuff because they understand they have to maximize and keep their body producing at a high level for as long as possible. And when you elongate that season and then shorten the off season, it's going to be interesting to see how these athletes really adjust. Because in the end, the older you get, the more rest you need to actually be at peak performance. So where does that rest come in? That to me, the psychology of getting ready and being able to perform is going to be the interesting part about all of this.
And that's exactly where I wanted to go. And within that, how do you prevent injuries? Like, what is more important, training year round or injury prevention? Like, how do you, we understand that, okay, you know, sometimes you're just going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're going to tear your knee up by making a wrong cut. Like, I get that. But like injury, like hamstrings, the soft tissue, like how do you prevent injuries? And especially like, let's say college and pros, because I don't know if that training has caught up to the mass amount of playing.
Right.
And with younger kids too.
Yeah. I think it's really going to be highlighted in the younger guys. What I think is happening now in college and even the professional side is sports science. So you're getting the catapult tracking. You're talking about, okay, if you look at this guy's numbers or historically, he's running 2,000 yards in practice and his max velo is maybe max miles per hour is 20 miles per hour. He was steadily getting 15. Well, guess what? It's week 5 now. He's steadily at 15 miles per hour with a low of 12, but he's running 3,000. Maybe we need to start tinkering with things like that. So this is where the advent of sports science and physios and all of that stuff is coming on to help with that injury prevention. But more importantly, peakness, readiness and peakness, to be able to peak when game time's coming on. That's the thing. And when we were coming up, it was like, all right, The best answer is work harder.
Work harder.
Yeah, longer practice. Well, yes. Hit more.
Tougher.
No. That wears you down. And I think that's where maybe the longer seasons, athletes are more equipped now because they have more information, and the people that are training them are doing position-specific, but more people-specific. You're different than me. I'm different than you. So now, instead of just saying, here's one workout for all DBs or all skill guys.
Right.
No. Doran, your gait is a little tight. You may be susceptible to soft tissue injuries. We're going to do this for you. Doug, you're okay, but you need strength and lower body strength. We're going to have this workout for you. So everybody has a personalized workout to help them, like I said, peak and stave off injuries. And because some people are more susceptible to certain injuries than others.
So you feel like the NFL's got it right with, like, you know, dialing it back during the season and not wearing pads and, you know, taking out preseason games. And no, I tend to feel like, and it's easy for me to say now because I don't have to do it. But I feel like training camp does prevent injuries if you are out there doing 2 days. Like, I do, but I it's easy. Like I said, it's easy for me to say now because I don't have to do it. I hated it at the time. Everybody does. But when I look back, when I did do 2 days, I didn't see that many injuries as much as you see now.
Right. And then that's what you say. Your body's calloused. You've got to be able to get that. And that's where that dichotomy's going is, all right, we're giving a longer and exposing them more hits, but we're trying to take those hits away. So there's a delicate balance. And that's why I think there's, if anybody's out there that's really into sports, I would give you study analytics or go into sports science, because that's the wave of the future.
Social media's Biggest Loser, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. And Social media's Biggest Loser today, actually, you know, broke last night. After last night's loss, Coach Jim Schlossnagel said, "I took the job at Texas A&M to never take a job again." Jim Schlossnagel is the head baseball coach of Texas A&M. He's sitting here and he's talking. Obviously, I can't hear it in an interview after they lost to in the World Series last night, the College World Series. He announced today that he has taken the job at Texas. He is social media's biggest loser. He sat up there on a podium and said, "I took this job at Texas A&M to never take a job again." 6 hours later, announced as the Texas head coach. So,
yeah,
there's that.
Or do you call that the Nick Saban biggest loser?
Yeah.
So,
right. More money.
More money.
I mean, but why even say that? I mean, it's not like you weren't talking to the team.
You know.
It's not like you weren't talking to the school.
All right. Like, and as soon as you go on the stage at Texas, if I'm a local reporter or I cover Texas, I'm gonna be like, why am I going to ask you any question? Because anything that comes out of your mouth is going to change in less than 6 hours. What are we doing here? Like, I'm done. I'm not coming to you anymore.
Oh, this is, it's just funny. That is really funny. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Dickerson, Whaley, Cal's here with you for about 4 to 5 more minutes. Doug, the Pirates won last night in Cincinnati, 9-5. Brian Reynolds, 22-game hitting streak, and you know he had a home run last night. Batting averages are down for the Pirates. That's why we were having the conversations of them adding another bat and, you know, try to add to this lineup. But batting averages are down around Major League Baseball. I think there's only like 11 or 10 guys over 300. And Crowley and I, we did a little deep dive of, like, you know, the past years. We went back to 1998 to 2002. And I think batting averages back, there was, in 1998, I believe that there was 46 guys over 300.
Whoa.
46 guys, and there's around 11 right now. I think batting averages back then were around 275, 277. And now, or last year, it was 239. Why do you think that is? Is it the pitching? Is it the speed and the different array of pitches? I mean, pitches really haven't changed, but I guess the athlete that is pitching has changed a little bit.
And for me, it's really mind-blowing because I thought it would go the opposite way, especially with the pitch clock. I thought pitchers would have less time to really dissect a hitter and work on a hitter. They would get tired quicker because they're rapid pitching, and I thought the batters would have the advantage. So I don't know what the deal is. Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe now pitchers aren't overthinking it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just saying, I'm going with what I know and I'm trusting it, and I'm just going to perfect these four pitches. And I'm coming after you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm coming at you rapid fire. And if you're not ready, too late. I don't know. But again, that is very surprising. And not only a small dip, it seems like that's a drastic dip.
Drastic.
I mean, it's not like, oh, 2 points here, 3 points there. No, you're talking hundreds of points. That's crazy.
I asked Neil Walker the same question on Monday, and he made a lot of sense of it. And I'm going to try to make sense of what he said. It's more about the slugging and trying to hit the ball out instead of just putting the ball in play. Back then, it was about putting the ball in play. Now it's about like, hey, I'll live with it if every other time I can try to hit one out and hit one deep.
No, that totally makes sense. And what it is, it's showing you just like baseball's trending toward basketball.
Yep.
Where basketball, it's all about the 3 points.
Yep.
It's all about the three. It's all about the home run. I don't care how many strikeouts you get, as long as you give me 30 dongers, we're good. And it's just a different approach to the game. And it's going to be interesting. I guess baseball is a little different than basketball, because basketball with the three, that actually, I think, increased the popularity of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Because 5'10" Joey can go out and try to develop that skill of a 3-point shot. He can't develop that skill of LeBron James and a windmill dunk.
Right.
So baseball, I don't know if you have that inherent power to be a slugger at 5'10".
Right.
I don't know. So that's going to be interesting how it plays out in the longevity of the game and how it develops players in the game. Does the pendulum swing back? I don't know.
Well, Doug, we appreciate you. Thanks for taking the time to come on the show, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking the time. Pirates play at 1:10 today. Ooh. In Cincinnati. As we talked to John Wehner earlier, I guess there's some weather that might affect the start of the game, so pay attention to that. I believe that we are airing it on our station or KDK AM, not sure. But Pirates play today, hopefully to get a win, and hopefully Brian Reynolds continues that streak. Again, Doug, thank you. We'll see you tomorrow. Callis, good job. Pat Bostic will join us again tomorrow from 7 to 9, and we'll get after it.
Enjoy,
Fan Weather.
Enjoy your time off, baby.
Yes, sir. Week. Yes, sir. Thank you. Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. 24 Silverado LT Crew Cab, up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 89, low of 60, partly cloudy. Tomorrow, high of 84, low of 66, with 60% chance of rain.